You're listening to the Screening in Kingston podcast. For more on Screening in Kingston, more episodes, info about our movie clubs, and a lot more fun movie content, visit screeninginkingston.com. The Oscars recap show has arrived 1 week later than some expected, but that's the way it goes. There's still lots to talk about. And of course, people have been waiting to find out who won our Oscars pool this year. So we're going to have those final standings on a little bit later. The question I think most people want to know, though, Taylor, to kick things off, how much of the Oscars did you watch?
So it was weirdly, and maybe you know why this happened, Mike. My theory is the time change, but I could be wrong. It was 1 hour earlier than normal.
Yeah, did that on purpose. Like, they started it at 7 to try to get things done earlier.
Fair enough. And like, completely valid. Typically, it being earlier would have been like great for me because George goes down at 7. So anyways, I missed the opening monologue, but got to watch until Ryan Gosling performed, and mostly because I'm old and have a baby who still wakes in the night, so I had to go to sleep. But, yeah. So, like, it was good and bad. It was good that it started early because I got to watch more of it without compromising my sleep. Bad that it started so early because I missed the opening monologue. Does that make sense? Because, like, I was putting George to sleep as the monologue was happening. For sure.
I was prepared. I mean, obviously, I don't have a baby. So I was prepared a little bit earlier for it to be earlier because they had been kind of advertising it a bit on the weekend. But with the time change, too, I'm sure there was some confusion. But I am curious to see, would the ratings go up? Would this be a significant bump starting it at like 7 o'clock our time, which is like, I think, 4 o'clock? But where they were like in Hollywood. So
I will say, Mike, I never talk about East Coast Eastern Standard Time privilege. I have never even considered how in other time zones it would be earlier or later.
That's so right. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I would think that if I was going to the award show, it's kind of weird that it started at 4.
Well, yes, but I think a couple of things. One, it is a Sunday night, and there's a lot of after parties. True. So those just end up starting earlier, and I think there's a lot of people who still have, like, kids as well, and, like, other responsibilities, and, like, you know, a lot of people go back to work on Monday. Like, they got rehearsal.
Oh, totally. Can you imagine, something. Though, Mike, if you were just, like, an average Oscar fan, and you're like, guess I'm sitting down at 4.
Yeah, That would be wild. But again, if you live on the West Coast, you're probably used to it. Because in all industries, sports as well, they always cater to the East. Because the East has the bigger audience when it comes to television. So they cater to the East for times. And the West always, like, it's always weird. Always. Like, if you were living out in, say, Vancouver, one of the interesting things is, you know, I watch football in the fall every Sunday, and football would begin at like 10:30, 11 a.m.
Yeah,
like that's when it would be beginning. Like, it wouldn't be an afternoon thing. It would be like, oh, it starts at 10 a.m.
Roll out of bed.
Yeah, you're done by like 4 in the afternoon. Yeah, so it's very different. Yeah, very, very different in terms of.
So long and short of it.
That's why they did it. Yeah.
I think I watched, I guess that would, about half. I think I was about halfway.
I think that's a little over half because I think the performance. Did you watch Ryan Gosling's performance?
Like, I watched.
That was the last original song to be done. So I think we were in the second half, well into the second half of the show by then.
Well, I was so annoyed. I was ready to go to sleep earlier. The announcer, which we can talk about, was like, and stay tuned for Ryan Gosling. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch one more segment. And then at the end of that segment, he went, and stay tuned for Ryan. I was like, oh, you got me.
Yeah, they got you.
Oh, I was so annoyed. But and then I go get up, you know, put the phone away, take my earbuds out, get up to go to the washroom. George wakes up. did not go back to sleep until 1:30. I literally could have finished watching the Oscars had I known George was going to do that. Anyways, so yeah, not that I don't think I missed out on too much. There was no slaps I missed out on or anything.
No, no. The last kind of hour or so of the Oscars does run by pretty quickly. And they were, like, to their credit, it was done a little earlier than I would say usually. Like,
I saw an article that it came in under time.
Like, yeah, it came in under time. Like, they did, yeah. But, I mean, there were less bits this year. Like, we'll get into it. Like, we'll talk about the show. But it did seem like they were trying to keep it tight 3-hour kind of max, maybe 3.5 hours. They were trying to keep it to that time frame best they could. It ended up being definitely shorter, so that worked. I'm just interested to see if the ratings, like, it was a big difference or not.
Have you looked it up at all?
No, I haven't. No. I care to more question, but not to research.
Not to research. Got it.
I'm more interested in our Oscars pool and discussing the many intricacies of that, because there's a lot going on there, and there was a lot of tight races. And overall, one little tease. So last year, the big surprise was the person who came in last had 0, which we've never seen.
Yeah.
And get, like, even by way of pure luck, you should be able to stumble upon an answer. So we rewarded that person with their own episode because we're like, that's amazing. This time there were only 2 people who were in the single digits for amount of answers. Only
Taylor
2.
Me being one of them. I will say, Mike, as I was watching the show, I was like, this has to be my worst Oscar ballot year ever. I felt like I could have been more wrong.
I'm gonna tease Taylor. I'm gonna tease this a little bit. One, it wasn't your worst.
Oh.
And 2, you did better than you think you did.
Okay.
Just in terms of where you ended up landing. This was an interesting year for the Oscars pool because there weren't, as I said, there's only 2 people who had the were under that double digit, but there was a lot of people clumped in the middle.
Mm.
So you did have a couple, except there is a winner. You did have kind of like a top 4 that emerged out of there, but everyone else was kind of clumped in the middle. Taylor, you are included in that, and I think you did a little bit better than you may have thought you did.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Mike, and we can probably get into this later, but while I was watching, typically what happened is the other movie, like if I was like between 2 movies, the other movie was the one that won. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I'm kind of torn between these 2. I'll just go with my gut. Well, as always, my gut was wrong. I need to do the opposite. But I will be interested to see how things shake out in the end.
I started out really strong and then it fell off for me. But the beginning, I think I had 4 or 5 in a row that were right. And I went like 5 for 5 or something, and then it started to fall apart for me. So I had a really good start to the Oscars. But then it got bad real quickly.
Before we get into the Oscar pool, which I assume is going to take up normally we go through the best categories.
I think we'll review the show first, and then we'll go through the top categories, and then we'll reveal our pool.
I wanted to talk about the episode, the Oscar show. And I'm glad we can just dive right in. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was like maybe not in the mood. I don't know. I thought. And I, to be fair, I did not watch the opening monologue and I didn't have a chance to watch it. But from what I've read, it was kind of par for the course with how I found the rest of the show. I thought the jokes were pretty corny. And I don't think I laughed once during any of Jimmy Kimmel's jokes. I might have like smiled during John Cena's little bit. But overall,
we got to talk about that. Yeah.
Overall, I will say, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did fine, but I did not think his jokes were remotely funny. I thought they were super corny. There were times where I was like, I don't even know what that joke is supposed to mean.
Yeah.
Right?
It felt, like, was I it just felt like... too safe to me.
Yes.
Now, I don't need it to be controversial edgy. And edgy, but what I do need is this is supposed to be your time to roast and have some fun with these people. And, like, to me, that's the jokes to me felt bland and definitely corny. Now, there were one or two moments, like Jimmy, you missed in the opening monologue, Jimmy Kimmel called out people, the Academy, for giving a round of applause to Greta Gerwig and not nominating her for Best Director. Like, he did do that. And he did, like, a couple of things. He did a joke later in the show. I think you would have missed this because this would have been near the end. About when Emma Stone won, he did a joke after about someone being like, okay, now let's rip up all the cards that say Emma Stone so there's not another mistake. Like, he did things like that to, like, poke fun of themselves. But he didn't... I don't think he roasted the group enough, and I think the funniest moments to me in the show came from other people. Like, the funny bits to me that I thought were interesting were, I don't know if you saw the Ryan Gosling Emily Blunt. Yeah,
that was nice.
That was funny.
A nice moment.
I thought that was good. I liked the John Cena thing. I thought that was really
funny.
Yeah,
I liked it too. Although he is looking, when they, like, zoomed in on his face, I'm like, he is looking older than I'm used to.
Oh, no. And he, yeah, I mean, he's a bit of an older guy anyway. Like, oh. he was already, as a wrestler, he had been doing things for years. He's kind of new to acting, but he's not young. Yeah.
But when you know, you see someone in, like, unflattering light, you're like, oh, you're older than I thought.
And then Taylor judges.
It came in my mind, and then when he was a good sport for doing that. So, and
of
I
course.
Also,
yeah, I like when people make fun of themselves, right? Yeah. Like, and I thought John Cena doing that was, like, pretty funny.
I liked the Kate McKinnon and
Steven Spielberg thing. Yeah, that was funny. That was really funny.
Thinking the dinosaurs were real life. And
Dr.
Then...
Spielberg, yeah. And I don't usually like Kate McKinnon, and I thought that bit was really well done.
Yeah. And who have I been texting? And then he just, like,
and it was Steven Spielberg.
That was good. And he was a good sport. And, like, even without talking, he was he did well. And then Melissa McCarthy and
Octavia Spencer.
I thought they had good rapport. I thought they had good rapport. Bad.
I thought the material was only okay. I like their banter was nice, like when it was clear they were bantering, but then when they were reading the teleprompter, it's like, okay.
But I don't even fault them.
The joke isn't well practiced. No, it's not their fault.
Because it was anytime the teleprompter is happening, typically. Oh, and the Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that was really good with Michael Keaton and the Batman thing. Yeah. That's the thing, like all the bits that were funny and memorable did not come from the host, to me was kind of the issue. I was expecting more because I've really enjoyed when Jimmy Kimmel has hosted in the past. And I felt like this was a little bland and thrown together and there were less bits and there was less sort of playing around. We didn't get the things that I expected from Jimmy Kimmel before where he really roasts people or goes after people or he hires the bodyguard because of the slap of the previous year. Him going after Matt Damon and doing a bunch of things like that. Like, all those things I sort of missed from this. And it felt too like, we're going to take things really seriously. We can't go after these people. We have to protect these stars. And to me, it's the exact opposite. Like, no, this is your night and you should treat it like a roast. Like, it's time to have some fun and be playful. And I just thought, like, there wasn't enough of it. Yeah, the hosting job was okay. It was fine. It wasn't a disaster. It was just bland.
I don't know if you got this sense either, but it felt kind of like amateur hour. A lot of the timing cues were off. You could tell like the cameras. Yeah, like the camera cues weren't quite working. Like there was one moment and I watched the CTV stream, which I assume you did too, because you have cable. So I assumed you watched it on CTV. But like, so I don't know if it was like our telecast. But there was like one moment where the host, who I'm not familiar with, but he has a good voice for hosting. He was more like, I would say, the narrator.
Like the announcer guy who was
One where like he started talking. The camera was like on an empty stage and then it cut to him. And then he went, oh, there we go. And then started his spiel again. There was like things like that where I'm like, okay, that might happen on the red carpet because it's like, yes, a very, it's like a very chaotic situation on the red carpet. But like, this is the Oscars. You're telling me you don't have your camera and your music cues down to a science? I know it's a live show.
Yes. But the problem is each year with the Oscars, a different producer or producing team is awarded the Oscars. That's why you get different hosts and different approaches, because they can do whatever they want with it. It's like being like in sports, you get rewarded the Super Bowl and you're hosting that year. Like whoever has been awarded the Oscars, that producing team, they choose everything. So the quality can shift depending upon who the team is and what they prioritize and how skilled they are at certain things. And I think that's unconfirmed, but I think this was like Jimmy Kimmel's show's producers who got it, because the guy who was the announcer that you're talking about, I'm pretty sure is the warm-up comic and the announcer for the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's the voice who like introduces Jimmy Kimmel every night. And he also does like warm-ups, like he'll warm up the crowd and stuff. Right. So I'm pretty sure that's what he did a great job. Like, clearly he's like announcing is his thing, because his voice really worked for it. He's really good at it. But I think it was like, okay, we're going to award it to the Jimmy Kimmel. Because one year it was Lorne Michaels from SNL. Like, right. That's why, like, you had a bunch of SNL people. Like, so every year, the first thing that's done is the producers are selected. And then the producers pick the host and pick whatever and do whatever they want with it. So,
but am I crazy, Mike? Did you not find that it was a little bit...
Oh, like, I thought there were lots of miscues in terms of the production. Yeah.
Yeah. Production miscues, even like some of the music they chose, I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
And apparently, and again, full disclosure, did not make it to this part of the episode. This part of the award show. But apparently the one article I read, a recap article, said that the In Memoriam was the worst.
That was a disaster. That was such a disaster.
It's essentially a list of what not to do during the In Memoriam.
Let me describe it to you. While a band is playing, there are dancers on the main part of the stage. And
why not?
The In Memoriam starts on the screen that's lowered down. And then at one point in time, the screen starts to raise and the In Memoriam images switch from one screen to another. So it kept hopping around to different screens, not by person, but every like 30 seconds. So they would do one screen, here's six people. And then they would jump around. And so you as an audience member, you'd have to look from screen to screen to screen to screen to figure out where you are to try to track who everybody is and where, what the memorial is.
Apparently
it
the was font
wild
was really
and
small.
Weird. Yeah, that was at the end. So at the end, okay, after they did the images, they put up this list of other people who died, and the font was so small you couldn't.
So brutal. You don't make the main section. And I know they did that because every year people complain that like their person hasn't been included. But like, way to be like, oh, you didn't make the main cut. You're the B list, and you can't even read the font.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a disaster. That was a disaster. Yeah, it was definitely like, for the most part, I would describe the show as okay. I thought
not the worst,
because I thought all the musical performances were pretty good this year. Like, you didn't really have anything awkward or weird there. Like, people got up and sang. I don't know what you thought of the I'm Just Ken performance. I thought
it was pretty good. Loved it.
There you go.
It was worth staying up for. You know, I didn't know what he was going to do. But he did like a full-on performance. Because like you said, typically, you know, like not typically, but sometimes they just go up and sing, which some of the best performers did. It was kind of like a stripped-down approach. Mm-hmm. The year Beyonce did it, she was on like a tennis court prior to the show. This was just remembered that. Very strange. I think that was a COVID year. So I didn't know what to expect with Ryan Gosling. He put on a full-on musical number performance, and I thought he was great. I thought that is why the song was nominated. That's why there was so much buzz around. Was he nominated for Best Supporting Actor too this year?
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
He didn't win.
No.
Which we'll get to. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. It looked like he was having a lot of fun. Looked like when they panned to the audience, they too were having a lot of fun, which is important. Oh, and I have one last thing to mention before we move on, unless there's something you want to bring up about the show. I thought that Robert Downey Jr. gave like a kind of a weird speech. He had like a weird energy about him. And I didn't like how Divine, do you remember her last, her, the woman who won?
Joy Randolph.
What's her full name?
Where's Divine Joy Randolph.
Yes. So she mentioned, she went, I'm going to thank my publicist. And I guess, I don't know, apparently you're not allowed to thank your publicist.
Well, that was one of the things the producers told people for their speeches.
To keep it short.
To keep it short, but to not just rattle off publicists and producing team and like things like that, to try to keep it short. Like, but that's a specific note they gave. So some people were making fun of that.
So, okay.
Mention their publicist.
I didn't like how there was one, I think it was one of the like sound awards, or it was one of the technical awards. And he made the crack. I don't have a publicist, so I don't have one to name, which I thought was cute. And that was funny. Yeah. But then when Robert Downey Jr. went, well, if someone's going to think they're, or the way he phrased it, he was alluding to Divine, and he went, well, I'll just thank my stylist then, which I thought was so rude because she's a first-time winner. This is like a breakout performance for her. She's obviously very, very nervous, but also has a very big connection with her publicist. So I thought it was a little bit rude of Robert Downey Jr. to like poke fun in that way of being like this, like, you know, oh, she's thanking her publicist. That's how it came off.
I didn't read it as that way at all. I thought he was making fun of himself. Because I thought what he said was, if there's one person who's going to thank their publicist, it'll be me, but I'll also thank my stylist because of all the drug issues he's had, needing a good stylist and publicist.
Oh, maybe I missed the first
part of
the
joke. Yeah, because that's what I think he said. Is like, if anyone's going to thank their publicist,
I should have thanked my publicist.
Yeah, like I should have, but I'll say, yes. I thought he was making fun of himself. Because his whole speech was like self-defeating, talking about how it's like, I'm going to blame my horrible childhood and all these things. But like, that's the way I'm pretty sure it was intended. I don't think he was taking a shot at her. I think he was taking a shot at himself.
With you explaining that, that makes a lot more sense. I must have missed the first part about him being like, if I could, I would, you know, that part.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
Being like, well, if someone's thinking their publicist, I'm going to thank my stylist. Like, ew. But no, that makes way more sense. Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't like his like energy getting up there. Like,
I think, he's someone who's clearly gone through so much that maybe in terms of this moment, there's almost like a release of tension almost, and thinking like, okay, I'm just gonna let loose because I finally did this thing that I was trying to do.
I guess he just came off as too cool for school for me.
Yes, and that's definitely, he had too much Tony Stark energy up there for sure. Yes, that I will agree with. Shall we get into some winners?
Yeah, because I'm sure by now people obviously know, hopefully, not waiting for our show to know who the best picture is. But this way we can give our hot takes.
Yeah, and what I have here, because I know people already know the winners, I've got your list and my list in front of me. Okay. And we will, you know, show what we got right and what we didn't. And then we'll end the show with our Oscars pool. So let's start with actor in a leading role, which went to Cillian Murphy, or Killian Murphy, depending upon who's talking. I heard it different ways.
What's the correct way?
I don't know because I heard it three different ways that night.
I think I say Cillian.
I'd say Cillian too, but I heard Killian. I heard Cillian. I literally did hear it multiple ways, so I don't
maybe
know. Point is
like the Irish way. But anyway, sorry.
He played Oppenheimer and he won, and we both had him. Regardless of how you say his name, both you and I picked him to win the Oscar.
No surprises. I think he cleaned up the award show. Like, I don't think a word circuit, I should say. I don't think there's any surprises there.
And again, like this, you know, getting into the numbers as we break it down here, you know, that was one of I think, 7 wins for Oppenheimer, who led the way with 7. Poor Things had 4. Zone of Interest had 2. And then anything else had 1. Like, there were no other multiple winners, which was really interesting this year. Like, there were some movies that were shut out or only had 1 win, but Oppenheimer had the most with 7, Poor Things had 4, and Zone of Interest had 2, and those are the only 3 movies to win more than 1 Oscar this year. So that was interesting. Like, very, very much more spread out than I think a lot of people were expecting. Because often you see, like, oh, a couple won a few. But yeah, like, Oppenheimer had the most and Poor Things was 2nd. So that's kind of interesting. But there you go. That's the best actor. Best supporting actor. We've already kind of mentioned this. It went to Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, a 2nd of their 7 Oscar wins. And both you and I had Robert Downey Jr. Again, I think we expected this to happen.
You know what's funny? I think originally I had Robert De Niro, right? Not Robert De Niro. Who's in Killers of the Flower Moon?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah. I think I originally had Robert De Niro and then I went, no. I think Robert Downey Jr. won the Golden Globe. I'll put that down. And so last minute I went against my gut and it turns out correct this time.
And it worked for you. Yeah, it worked for you. Yeah, this was one of those categories where, you know, you had other nominees like Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo. But I think it was just all the buzz was pointing to Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. So there you go. Actress in a leading role went to Emma Stone, which surprised me a lot. Both you and I, Taylor, picked Lily Gladstone. You had mentioned last week when I said, oh, I think all the actor, you know, picks are pretty locked much in. Locked in. You were like, oh, Emma Stone. Like, you threw that nugget in there. And to me, this was one of the shockers of the night for me. I really thought it was going to Lily Gladstone, but Emma Stone ended up winning it.
All the buzz was about Lily Gladstone. That's why I went that way. I thought, like, it seemed like it was a done deal, like you said. But having seen Emma Stone's performance, I'm not surprised they chose her. I know a lot of people are upset. They think that it was, quote unquote, stolen from Lily Gladstone. I didn't see her performance, so I can't say. Did you end up seeing Poor Things before the award show?
I did and end up watching Poor Things, yeah.
And having seen both performances?
Yeah, having seen both performances, both were Oscar-worthy performances.
Very diplomatic of you.
Well, I would have picked Lily Gladstone, but did Emma Stone steal that award from her? No. Emma Stone would have been my 2nd choice, and it's not a huge gap. So it's one of those things where I'm like, having seen both, I sit here going, I'm surprised, but it's not like the most shocking thing in the world.
Right.
It was a surprise to me. I really did think it was going to go to Lily Gladstone, but no, I don't agree with that narrative. I just think that people like to be outraged, upset, and clicks, and that the more energy and passion you have, and the more you can go, you know, a 10 or a 1 on the scale of life, the more attention you get. No, this is right down the middle. Could have gone either way. Both great performances. Lily Gladstone was worthy of winning. Emma Stone ended up winning. There's not 2 awards. One has to win it. I would say no, it wasn't stolen.
And it was divided between the two in the Golden Globes, was it not?
And it was divided between the two in Golden Globes. And not that this is a huge metric, but it was almost down the middle in our Oscars pool. Slightly favoring Lily Gladstone, like 60-40 kind of thing. But we had lots of people in our pool who still thought Emma Stone was going to win. So
there you go.
That'll quiet everyone. Just that's all I know.
There you go.
There you go. Take that. Actress in a supporting role, as we've already mentioned, went to Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. This was you were a big fan of her performance.
Amazing.
From The Holdovers. You and I both picked that as well, so no huge shocker there.
I think she completely cleaned up award season. I think she won every major award. Yeah. I think it's well-deserved. Was that a movie you got to squeeze in before the Oscars?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't get to squeeze it in before the Oscars, but my plan is to watch it this week. I wanted to watch Poor Things because I knew it was up for a lot. Yeah. So I tried to get that one in there, which I was able to do. I have many thoughts on Poor Things as a
movie. Many feelings. Could have discussed it at the same time.
We can talk about it next week or some other time. But yeah.
Just real quick, Paul Giamatti cried when Divine Joy accepted her award.
Well, and I think in terms of you know, her speech too, and clearly this was personal for her, and she's, you know, someone who's kind of finally, I think, breaking out in acting. I think it's very understandable, especially like, you know, Paul Giamatti worked with her for so long. I'm sure they're close. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it's nice. I wouldn't do it. I'm a robot, but you know,
it's nice.
It's nice. Next one here, animated feature went to The Boy and the Heron. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was getting a lot of buzz to win this. But at the end of the day, it was Boy and the Heron, another one that you and I both had right.
The guy, I don't know if it's the actor who voiced Spider-Man, but he was one of the voice talents, and he was like, I'm going to say it. We were robbed. Don't come at me. I'm young.
I'm young.
I'm young and I'm full of fire or something. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He was a voice actor from the movie?
Yeah, from the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was getting a lot of buzz, and I think because of the animation style, I think it's understandable. To me, the first Spider-Verse movie was still a lot better. I know they like pushed the envelope with this one, did a lot of cool, unique things. But all the buzz pointed to it was between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man. So it was a close race. But yeah, I know Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was getting a lot of buzz. So it's kind of understandable they feel that way. Cinematography, I'm going to scroll through some of these, but we'll focus on the big ones. Cinematography went to Oppenheimer. Costume design went to Poor Things. And then the directing award went to Christopher Nolan for Best Director. That is another one that you and I had in common. All of these, Taylor, you and I got right. We got cinematography.
I thought I got cinematography and costuming wrong.
You got both right.
Oh,
there's where you're gaining these points. You picked Oppenheimer, you picked Poor Things, and then, of course, you picked Christopher Nolan.
I think I might have got maybe the makeup wrong, because I think I picked Maestro.
That's right. You got the makeup wrong. Okay. Yeah, you and I picked Maestro, actually, for that one.
Because of the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, honestly, I just thought that the big movies, which would have been Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, Zone of Interest, and Maestro, and Barbie, were each going to get at least two Oscars. Like, that was kind of the way I was thinking. Right. That's the way it normally goes. But Maestro was shut out.
They didn't get any, right?
I don't think they won one award.
And that killed, Mr. I always forget his name.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, that killed Bradley. He went home and cried, I'm sure.
And I think if I'm not speaking out of turn, I think Killers of the Flower Moon didn't get anything either.
It didn't get any. So that, no. I was waiting for you to kind of work through the list, but yeah, that was the biggest. I don't, you know what the thing is, like, I'm not even seeing articles saying this is an upset. It's just like, so it goes to show that, like, maybe, and your review was kind of on the fence about Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, some like really good performances. Yes, some really good performances, but overall as a movie, I wasn't impressed. Yeah.
And like, you gave Maestro a see it, but you also were like, this movie's not for everyone. So I
just 100% think, not for everyone. Yeah.
Think it's funny that like these two, I don't know. I knew because Bradley Cooper was campaigning so hard and being so cringe, I'm like, he's not going to win any. You can't make it look like you want it that bad to the Academy for some reason.
he's the new Leonardo DiCaprio. Because I think he's 0 for 5 now.
Brutal. And so I'm not surprised Maestro got shut out. I am surprised with how big Killers of the Flower Moon was and how they were saying, like, this is Scorsese's magnus opus. This is like the crowning achievement of his career. And it didn't get a single award. That to me was shocking. Yeah. Like not even technical awards, like editing or production design, like production design awards.
And I also was surprised that like Poor Things really took all the major kind of production ones. Like it won production design. I'm pretty sure it won costumes and hair and makeup. Like it won the kind of the big like production-y things. So that's where it started to rack up its Oscars, right? Like it ended up winning 4 Oscars. 3 of them were the categories that I thought might go, one to Poor Things and one to Barbie and one to Killers of the Flower Moon. One like that's Maestro. How I thought. Yeah, one to Maestro. Like that's kind of how I thought it was going to go.
I don't know if I brought, this is a little bit of a segue. I don't know if I said last week if I thought the movie looked good.
Which one? Don't,
Poor Things. I don't think it looks good.
It's heavily stylized.
It looked a little and, muddled to me.
Yes, but I will say, like, all those sets and the lighting and the costuming and the way we're they good. Did it, I could under, yeah, we're good. Like, I was like, okay, best production design, I can now see why. Because they would have had to design and build all of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of credit them for that.
You know what I'll say, Mike? I liked the costuming. I liked the set. I did not like the use of CGI, which again, no surprise. I think when they relied heavily on the CGI, that's when the vision got a little muddled to me, that like steampunk-esque stuff. But anyways, I digress. We can talk more next week when you give your thoughts about the movie. But So anyways, we did director. You haven't done the writing awards yet.
No, I'm going to get there next. I'm just going to quickly scroll through a couple of these. So documentary feature film went to 20 Days in Mariupol. Documentary short was The Last Repair Shop. Film editing to Oppenheimer. International feature film to The Zone of Interest. I think that was a no-brainer. No surprise there. Sound to The Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
Which, you know, goes to show you that not every big, loud movie wins sound. Sometimes the quieter and the more interesting uses of sound wins. I thought that was I had a lot to say about The Zone of Interest, but I do think that that was a well.
The soundscape made sound. Sense.
Totally. As we mentioned, makeup and hair went to Poor Things. The original score for music went to Oppenheimer. The original song was from Barbie, What Was I Made For? I don't think those were huge surprises to me personally.
No.
Let's get to the writing awards though, because we do want to talk about those. This is where we saw some pretty big gaps in what our Oscar pool thought, and this is where I lost a lot of ground. So both you and I, Taylor, for writing adapted had Barbie that would win, but for writing adapted screenplay, it was American Fiction that won the Academy, beating out Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
That movie was kind of, it was, I think, I became aware of that movie probably around Christmas, maybe January. So like very tail end of the season. So it wasn't one I've seen yet, but it was getting a ton of buzz. So I'm not surprised that it won. I guess I'm surprised. I don't think Barbie, aside from a best song, won anything. I thought they were going to
only won one Oscar. Yeah.
I thought that with it being so huge, all of the discourse around it, and because Greta wasn't nominated for director, I thought that they would give her like kind of like a pity award with the adaptive.
Well, well, I thought it would have been a well-deserved win. But I also, I did think that Barbie, I definitely thought Barbie was going to win for the song. That I knew was going to happen. I thought Barbie was going to get at least 3 Oscars, which was the adapted screenplay, and then winning one of costumes or production design or something, just because it was also creating this fantastic world, recreating kind of the dolls. I thought maybe costuming. Sure, yeah. That's what I thought was going to happen. And I did think it was like, you know, coming out of it, I'd be like, well, okay, she wasn't nominated for director, but she wins the writing award and they get these other things. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen. The fact that Barbie came away with only the one award did surprise me. And I thought the writing was where they were going to get it, even though I still think the direction of Barbie was stronger than the writing of Barbie.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it was a little bit there. But, hey, I want to watch American Fiction now. Like, it's on my list. I'm going to watch Holdovers first, but this is coming up next.
I loved his acceptance speech, the writer, where he said, please give smaller movies a chance. Instead of spending $200 million on one movie, why not do, like, 10? And then the winner of cinematography for Poor Things, right? Did we say Poor Things?
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. He also had one of the greatest acceptance, being like, please film on film. Like, please stop.
Yeah, like, I think the thing is I don't think those things matter that much. I like things that are filmed on film, and I like seeing a wide range of movies. I don't think it matters the amount of money you spend on the movie. Spend it in the proper places.
Yeah.
It's more my thing. Make sure your things are well written. Like, that's the thing. I keep talking about Madame Web. Madame Web is the biggest piece of garbage I think I've seen recently, where it's like, how can we see this and any of the movies nominated here and it come from basically the same union of individuals? That, like, that to me is the problem, Taylor, with even unions. It gives me the expectation that you should all be of a certain quality, but how can the person who wrote Madame Web and the person who wrote American Fiction be from the same union that we just gave this massive raise to as a society? Like, it boggles my mind, and it makes me really angry, because you should be able to write a good film, whether your film cost $1 to make or $1 million. It should have a fantastic script and should be able to get that way. American Fiction winning was great, but like Barbie, Oppenheimer, big budget movies, both nominated in this category. Oppenheimer was a well-written script. It didn't become bad because it was a $200 million budget.
I don't think the writer was saying like big budget movies are bad. I think he's just saying like he said in his speech, I understand that the industry's risk adverse, but like share the love, essentially. He's saying like, instead of putting all your chickens into one, all your eggs into one basket, maybe take a gamble on some smaller movies.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been saying as long as we've been podcasting. And I've been dreaming about the death of Hollywood, like in the 70s. I think I said that probably in the first episode.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
So anyways, I don't think it was a comment on like the quality of big budget movies. I think he was saying like, maybe we should take a gamble on smaller movies. And you know, he said like, this award is proof that like taking a gamble on a smaller movie pays off. So that's why I love that. And then the cinematography one being like, digital sucks, and like it does, it looks horrible. So
he didn't
explicitly say digital sucks, but
I think it's worth noting too that the model that really really works is when a studio, like a big studio who produces, like for example, I think it was MGM Studios, if I read properly, that did American Fiction. I might be completely talking in my butt here, but like I'm pretty sure that like
for a small movie,
which they did like Saltburn, and I'm pretty, because I think that's what I was reading, House of Gucci, Saltburn, like this movie. They also produced James Bond, so
that's how it should be. You have one big tentpole movie for the year, and the rest of
and
the
then
money
all these other
to,
things.
That's how it used to be in the 90s.
That's 100% agree with, because that's what I think in the theater is the model that works really well. You have your big budget musical, and then you have four or five other things around it, and there's
small budget comedies.
100%. And the thing that I just want, I'm going to name him because he's a core Jefferson to understand, is James Bond paid for your movie. So that's the only thing. I get what he's saying. I agree that you need to have different things. You just got to find a better way to say it, as far as I'm concerned. You can't go up there and compare apples to a gourmet dinner and be like, you can only have one and not the other. Like,
have your big budget movies, but I don't think that's what he was saying, though. That's not how I interpreted his comments.
I don't know. And he said, I don't know how else you can interpret, instead of having a $200 million movie, have five $20 million movies or whatever he said, which is what he said. Like, instead of one, have five. is basically what he said. But it has to be, there has to then be six. You have your one big budget movie and you have your five others.
Yeah, like, fair enough.
You got to be able to have both. And he said one or the other. So that's the reason why I interpreted it that way.
What else do you have on your list? Are we getting inching ever closer to best
well, picture? we've got writing original screenplay, right? Which is Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah,
we both got wrong.
I crashed and burned. I just hoped the Canadian would win on that one.
Well, that's, I picked Past Lives too because I thought we'll make the Canadian a win. Like, that
it would
have
been nice. We'll will it into existence. It was a good. I would say it was a good script. And Anatomy of a Fall has been getting a ton of buzz. And it was a movie that I kept putting off because I think it's like 2.5 hours long. But apparently it's fabulous. So there you go.
And then Best Picture, which is the final big award, went to Oppenheimer. It's 7th and final award of the evening. It won Best Picture. Both you and I had that one correct as well.
And again, I think that was kind of set in stone. Although, and apparently Al Pacino also thought, I didn't watch this, but there's been a lot of online discourse about how he revealed. What's your take of how
he literally just opened the envelope and said who won. Like, he didn't, there was no nominees, which was a producer decision, not him, which is something that we just,
because people are saying it's him.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense because it's all voiceover that's done before. So every time someone comes out to introduce a category, they give their little thing, which is live, and then they go, and the nominees are, and it usually like shows on the screen, and it's their pre-recorded voice. They're not saying it live. They've pre-recorded themselves announcing it, and then they just say, and the winner is thing. So they chose not to do that. That was a producer decision, not him.
And like,
he handled it very awkwardly. Like, it was a very awkward transition.
Like, they, throughout the show, and I think they've done this the last couple years, they show clips of the best pictures throughout the show. So it's not like they didn't, granted, they weren't like, and the nominees are, but like, the other movies still got their due, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't think it's a horrible decision. I think it's a bad decision in the sense that audiences are used to one way and it could be jarring. And then
it was jarring though, because there was no explanation or lead up.
Right. Yeah. So that's, you know, I feel bad for Al Pacino, but apparently people are like, give him a break. He's like 89 or like however.
It's not his fault. 83. That's the thing. Like, it has nothing to do with him. Like, it was a production decision because they didn't have the thing ready. It's not like he skipped it. Right? Like,
people are treating it like it's a senior's moment, which isn't fair to him.
And is wrong. Yeah. People are just, they're wrong. Like, they just don't understand how the production side of it works. Like, they're just wrong.
He should have said something like, I don't know, like, and now we're going to go right to the winner. You know what I mean? Like, there should have been some sort of segue. There was absolutely no segue. He like did his little spiel and then opened the envelope.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. He didn't even say, and the winner is. He just like talk, and then went opening up the envelope. And but what was awkward, I think he said, is it Oppenheimer? And then he
I think that's funny. Yeah. Is it? It is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what he did. And everyone like was shocked for a minute. Be like, wait, what's happening? And then it happened. Yeah, it was very weird. It was a very weird moment.
Not a surprise.
No, not a surprise. Most people picked that. Let's talk about the big surprise of the Oscars, our Oscars pool. Let's go through and list out in order. We will also post the standings online. You can get them on the website. But let's reveal how things went, shook down.
Should we go bottom to top?
Bottom to top. So there's a lot of ties. So I'll just warn people that there's a lot of ties. So okay. We'll do this. Go through this best I can. So tied for 20th place, last place. A tie between Kathy and Ronald Colman. The only two to score less than 10 correct answers. They tied for last place.
With how many there points?
They had 9.
9. Okay. Not bad. Not horrible. Not zero.
No, that's the thing. Not zero. So not terrible, but still definitely in last place. Tied for 17th, Kira and Oppenheimer. You brought her. That was their name.
I tried good to read that Kira. Best I
could. But yeah, I got to say here, Kira went from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, that's like, in terms of most improved player.
She might get an award just for most improved.
That's true. Like, that's really good. Tied for 15th place was Lily, and Winning is Hard. Great name.
Winning is hard.
True. Winning is hard. Tied for 15th place. Tied for 13th place, Joseph Murphy and Dennis. So okay. Tied for 13th, Joseph Murray and Dennis. Tied for 11th, Ellie and Lori. So Ellie and Lori, you were tied for 11th place. In 10th, all by his lonesome, me. I finished 10th place. My worst finish
top
of all
10.
Time.
Top
no
10,
one's
no.
tied with me. Top 10, barely. Just barely. But Taylor, you beat me.
Woohoo!
Because tied for 8th place, so 8th and 9th wow. place tied, is Taylor and producer Austin.
Yay, us. Yay, Austin and Taylor. Woohoo! I'm tied, shocked. That's yeah, the biggest that's, shock of the
you,
year.
You finished, that's their, your best finish of all time. You did nice. A great job. Tied for 5th place, Tyler Vance, Dan, and Akil.
Ooh, a so three-way tie.
A three-way tie. Tyler Vance, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Tyler Vance, Dan, and Akil. Then we have basically a top four that ended okay. up happening. So tied for 3rd place. So 3rd and 4th place. Tied for 3rd place. Katie Wilson and Charlene Windsor
Ooh.
Were tied for 3rd place. I think this was Charlene's first time in our Oscars pool.
Not
and
bad.
Tied for 3rd with Katie Wilson, friend of show, friend of Taylor.
There you go. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So we got 2 left. Okay. And I'm going to tell you right now the names of the 2 people. Okay. And
Tyler
one
Vance.
Of them finished first. No, no, Tyler Vance
sorry.
Was tied for 5th.
He had the 3-way tie. That's right.
So there's 2 people here left, Dominic and Ruth. And Ruth was our 2023 champion.
Ooh, Ruth.
So
2-time winner.
The question is, did Ruth, well, we got Dominic and Ruth. One of them finished first.
Oh.
One of them finished second. So the question is, was there a 2-time winner?
That's I hope so. Question. I want that for Ruth.
Well, I will reveal one then first and then 2. So between Dominic and Ruth, 1st place, Ruth.
Yay!
Our first repeat champion, winner in 2024 and 2023. That means Dominic finished 2nd place. 1 point separated Ruth and Dominic. They both did very, very well. They were 1 and 2. So Ruth wins for the 2nd year in a row.
Wow.
First ever repeat champion in the 2024 Oscars pool. Our standings will be posted on screeninginkingston.com. So you can go check it out. But Taylor, your reactions to this year's list.
Well, you promoted it really hard and we didn't have an amazing turnout. So tisk tisk.
Less than we expected, less than last year. And
last
we know
year,
you're
I
listening.
Think...
So shame on all of you. We know
last
you're listening.
Last year was I think like our year best. Or
oh,
our
yes. yeah.
I think
yeah.
by and large. But Mike checked the streaming numbers, the download numbers, and we know you guys are listening. We're not talking into the void. So we expect many a fan questions moving forward, much fan engagement. But my hot takes in terms of the rankings. I will truly say the biggest shock is that I cracked the top 10 because I'm literally, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm laying in bed watching on my phone thinking, ooh, bottom. Taylor, you really messed those up. Like documentary, knew I got that wrong immediately. And it was because the documentary that won was like my 2nd pick. Mm. And I was going to say something controversial. I won't say it because I know, Mike, I've been saying controversial things for the last couple of weeks and you've been having a hard time editing me.
a little, only a little bit. Yeah. It's so funny because what I kept in, people will probably think like, oh yes, we've heard of like, yeah, you should have heard what I cut out, people. So
was that last week about the
yeah last week was bucket? A particularly difficult episode to edit. And what I left in was like the best I could do. You know?
You know, it is what it is. I try not to be, I don't know. I am who I am, Mike, and we've been together now 6 years doing this show. It is what it is. Sometimes you have to edit me, sometimes you don't.
I'm used to it by now.
And I don't listen, so I have no idea. I literally have no idea. I say the thing, I completely, the moment it comes out of my mouth, I very rarely think about it afterwards. And then I don't even know that you're editing me later. So there, I have no penalties. I have no repercussions. I just talk and talk and talk. sometimes when I, like last week, I did say to Dan, like, I won't rehash what was said, so you don't have to edit me again. But I did get off being like, ooh, am I gonna be in trouble? And then Dan said, you're not saying anything that isn't already a meme on the internet.
That is also true. That is also true. If you live on the internet at all, you've seen everything Taylor said. The one thing you wanted to mention, though, Taylor, before we leave, was about your research you recently did into our reviews.
And I don't know why I thought, maybe because we were... I don't know. I don't know how this came up. Oh, because the person, you were looking at the review of one comment, one commenter, and they said, you know, the review starts at 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, review starts at 42 minutes or whatever. Yeah.
Never in the course of this show have I ever thought to look us up on streaming services. Probably, Mike, because I never listened to podcasts until last year when I got sick. Literally never listened to podcasts. And then I was bedbound and had nothing to do but listen to podcasts. And so I never even thought to look us up. I have no idea how many people listen to the show. I'll joke to Mike that we probably only have 5 listeners. Mike assures me we have more than 5. But ignorance is bliss. I have no idea. Anyway, so I thought I'm going to go up and look at the 2 podcast things that I'm aware of. So I went on to Spotify. We have a 4.5 on Spotify. And I think like one comment. I thought, wow, pretty good. Then I tell Mike at the beginning of the show that I looked that up. Mike informs me that we used to have 5 on Spotify. What the heck, people? Go back and make that.
How did we lose that 0.5? That's what I want to know.
My bad popcorn joke. But it wasn't even the popcorn joke because now we probably have like 2 stars because of the popcorn joke. And then I went on... Apple, and we still have 5 on Apple, 5 stars on Apple. So everyone, you know, we never in the history of our show have we said this, but I know other podcasts do this. And so we're going to start doing this podcast game. You got to rate, subscribe, comment. What's the thing, Mike? Rate, subscribe, comment.
Rate, subscribe, comment. I don't think there's anything more.
I think that's it. And
what else do you want them to do? Like, if you like, rating and commenting and subscribing are really the only actions.
Send me a carrier pigeon. Tell me how much you love us, and start writing back into the show, because I truly think only 5 people are listening now. So
it's definitely north of 5.
Good. But anyways, who would have thought? I would have thought, okay, I would have settled for like 3 stars. 4.5 and 5, that's not too bad for a little, you know.
You forget we are an award-winning podcast. Yes. So, you know, you forget we have that.
Someone described us as like pleasant movie buffs or something. But that was at the very start of the show. It's who knows? Who knows what
we're a lot less pleasant and a lot less knowledgeable than when we started. Yeah. I agree. So yes, definitely go rate us where you can. Try to give us 5 stars if you want to. Share, subscribe, comment, like, follow us on social media. All that helps. It's all good.
It'll be another 6 years before we ever bring it up again.
That's right. That's right. We bring this every 6 years.
Just a reminder.
There you go. Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. That was our Oscars show. The show continues in its normal capacity, whatever that looks like, next week. So we'll be back with more from your casual movie buffs.
Go see some movies.